Happy Pentecost. I know that's not the common greeting, but it's fitting for this wonderful feast day, Pentecost, a day of great joy for the whole church, really for the whole world. Now, the biggest feast of the year is, of course, Easter, or to be more accurate, the Easter Triduum of the Lord's death and resurrection, which we celebrated 50 days ago. Perhaps the next biggest or most popular is Christmas. And then there's today's feast, the solemnity of Pentecost, the 50th day of Easter. It's really the conclusion, the culmination of the whole Easter season. Pentecost is usually celebrated as the Feast of the Holy Spirit, sometimes referred to as the birthday of the church. The turning point from awe and wonder and gratitude that the Lord rose from the dead to the great work of making known that great event in the whole world. Jesus, before he ascended to the Father, spoke about this. He told the apostles to stay in Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Father. That refers to the coming of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. And then he said to them, and we heard this reading just last Sunday, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Today's celebration is when we read the account of the fulfillment of that promise, or that marvelous event. 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, 10 days after he ascended, they were all gathered together, they were waiting, they were praying. They knew something was going to happen because Jesus said, wait until it happens. They didn't know what would happen and they didn't know when it would happen. Isn't that the way it is with the Holy Spirit, or with the ways of God? We can't determine when or how he will work. We have to wait and respond when the Lord gives his Holy Spirit. Anyway, in their case, suddenly there's this strong driving wind and tongues of fire, and then the miracle of speaking in and understanding many different languages. These are the three striking symbols of Pentecost, or of the Holy Spirit, the wind, the fire, and the languages. But maybe the most obvious miracle of all is the change in the behavior of the apostles. It's obvious that something happened. Something changed. Before Pentecost, the apostles knew that Jesus was risen and was alive. They rejoiced to know that he was still with them. On the Feast of Ascension, we heard that they were rejoicing and they were constantly in the temple praising God. In fact, they had already received the Holy Spirit, as we learned from today's Gospel, which tells us that on the evening of Easter Sunday, so 50 days ago, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But they were still keeping it secret, you could say. They were still living in a certain measure of fear. They were not acting as Jesus' witnesses. They were not making known the good news to everyone. Not in Jerusalem, not in Judea and Samaria, and certainly not to the ends of the earth. And all that changed on the day of Pentecost. From weak, fearful, hidden men, they suddenly were able to stand up in public and proclaim to people of all nations and all languages that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, risen from the dead, the Savior of the world. So that's, I think, one of the greatest signs of the Holy Spirit, the change in the apostles themselves. And since we are called to be apostles, whenever we are afraid or whenever we are confused or we're unsure of what to say or what to do, whenever we're unable to proclaim our faith or reveal to anyone the beauty of our faith, that's a sure sign that we need the Holy Spirit, that we're not relying on the Holy Spirit. And none of us can be living witnesses of Christ without the Holy Spirit. As St. Paul says, we can't even proclaim Jesus as Lord without the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, there's no limit to what we can do. There's no limit to what the church can do if we rely on the Spirit, because that Spirit is God. He is divine power. He's power from on high, and that power has been entrusted to us. When we're not relying on the Holy Spirit, well, then we're like the apostles in the upper room. We may have faith, but we don't have any power. We're not giving it to anyone else. We might even feel helpless. We might feel intimidated. The problems of the world look too big to us. Today's feast reminds us that we don't have to be like that anymore, if we ever were, and we often are. But we don't have to be like that. On our own, yes, we're still the same weak, sinful, helpless, ordinary people. But we're not on our own. We're not relying only on our own power. We have been filled with the gift of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, the three symbols, as I mentioned, that show that something new, something different has taken place are the wind, the fire, and the many languages. If this event had happened in our times, maybe the Lord would have used electricity as the symbol for the coming of the Holy Spirit, because we immediately understand the difference between having or not having electric power. We might have a perfectly good fan or light or air conditioner or gadget or anything, but without electricity, all our appliances are dead, practically useless. But with electricity, they have marvelous effect. We can do marvelous things with them. It's a huge difference. Now, the scriptures, they don't mention electricity, and perhaps just as well, because these symbols that the scriptures do mention, the wind and the fire and the languages, are even more profound, very rich symbols. For now, I'd just like to focus on one of the three, the symbol of fire. What is this? There's a lot behind this image of fire. The fire descended from heaven, and then it parted, and one tongue of fire rested on each of the apostles. It's the same fire, but different for each person. Many flames. It's a one fire, many fires. A fire is fascinating in itself. I mean, that's why we can't see the flame there, but there's a big flame on this big candle. You can see those candles there. But when you look at a fire or a flame, it does seem to be alive. There's something fascinating about it. Fire is almost a symbol of life, right? It dances around. We even call it a living flame. And when the flame goes out, we could even say it died. So we often use the symbol of fire as a symbol of love, a symbol of life, especially of spiritual life. And more than anything, fire represents God. It gives us a way to talk about God and His power. It's always hard to talk about God because He's immense. He's beyond our measurement. But the scriptures themselves use fire. In the Old Testament, when God revealed Himself, He sometimes used fire to alert people that He was present. One of the most famous examples is in the encounter between God and Moses, the first encounter of Moses with God on the holy mountain. You remember the story. God appeared to Moses in the form of a burning bush, fire in a bush. Now, on its own, there was nothing particularly special about the bush. And fire itself, by itself, it's not that unusual. What was fascinating to Moses was the bush, the ordinary desert shrub, was not being consumed by the fire. That's why he went over to see it. What's going on here? This shrub, this bush is not being consumed. It's burning, but it's not being destroyed. Well, this combination of divine fire, divine love, and an ordinary earthly plant, it tells us something about how God works with each of us. Because each one of us is something like that bush. Or an ordinary person. We're all ordinary people. And yet, God's plan is to set us on fire with His Spirit, with His love. That's what God wants to do. Now, we have a kind of natural fear of fire, too. We don't want to get too close to it because we don't want to get burned. And we don't want to get burned up. And sometimes we do that to God. Unfortunately, we stay at a certain distance from Him, as if we don't want to be burned by Him, or touched by Him, or affected by Him, or we don't want Him to see how sinful we are, or weak we are, or how unfaithful we have been. We don't want Him to get too close. And we've seen examples of that in the scriptures as well. We forget the lesson of the burning bush. We forget the lesson of Pentecost. God's Spirit is a divine fire that burns in us without destroying us. It doesn't harm us, it helps us. Or I should say, He doesn't harm us, He helps us, the Holy Spirit. Divine love is a fire that transforms us, that purifies us, that empowers us, that enlivens us. And this is the gift that we're celebrating today, Pentecost Sunday. The best example of how to live with this fire is the Blessed Virgin Mary. She's the patroness of this parish, Mary, Mother of the Church. On Pentecost, of course, we think of Mary, Mother of the Church, because she was there preparing the apostles for the coming of this gift, the Holy Spirit. And she's our mother, too, and she's preparing us for this gift and teaching us how to yield more fully to the work of the Spirit in our lives. So we don't have to fear, even though we're still in the midst of a world full of problems, and even we still all have our own weaknesses. We're ordinary, sinful human beings, yes. But we are filled with divine fire. We're filled with divine love. We receive this gift in baptism, the sacrament of baptism. We already have it. It was strengthened in the sacrament of confirmation. The Holy Spirit is infinitely creative and life-giving. He doesn't make us all exactly the same. We don't have to be afraid of Him forcing us down a path. He's not rigid. He doesn't prevent us from speaking our own language or from being our true selves. In fact, He makes it possible for us to be our true selves and to make us fruitful. He gives us the wonderful ability to bring about unity in diversity. This is what we see with the Pentecost event. All the peoples from all over the world speaking all kinds of languages were united in one faith. One people, one church, with a great variety of gifts, with a great variety of people. And we can all do different things, different ministries, go to different places, do different jobs, and still be united in the one faith, the one Spirit. How? By this gift that we're celebrating today, the gift, the power of the Holy Spirit. So on Pentecost and every day, we pray, come, come Holy Spirit, come with your power, come with your grace, come with your fire, come with your mercy. Come, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your divine love.